You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here. It's a Wednesday, a beautiful Wednesday here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We pray that you are having a great, great week. Do want to invite you out to our services, not only tonight where we are talking about getting out of the land of bondage and getting into the land of promise that God has for us, but also we want to invite you to our Sunday service this week. Danny Duvall will be speaking, evangelist Danny Duvall. He comes, we have him almost every year. Really appreciate his ministry, appreciate his heart, appreciate the call of God on his life, and he's just such a precious brother. And I know a lot of times people think that smaller churches, that the ministry that they have, the guest speakers they have, maybe not, you know, upper echelon. Danny is upper echelon. I am blessed every time he comes. He shares things from the Word of God, and it's like, man, I wish I'd known that 40 years ago. He has pastored two great churches. He was basically the lead teaching pastor for a mega church. He was an evangelist for a number of years, preached a lot of youth conventions, a great, great brother, humble, and also very competitive on the golf course. So come and be blessed this coming Sunday. It will be well worth your time. He comes. What happened a few years ago, I was walking around in our general counsel. I crossed paths with him, recognized him, and realized he was in between ministry positions. And I had gone to that general counsel looking for the evangelist that God would have to come to Merritt Assembly of God. And they were down here. They had family that lived in Florida. And I said, could I get you to come and preach 2 weeks? I said, what I'd like you to do is preach on a Sunday, preach on a Wednesday, and then the next week preach on a Sunday through a Wednesday. And that's relatively unheard of in modern churches. And they said yes. They came on faith, and they were just hoping they would get a little bit of a love offering, and instead our church just had such a heart for them and an appreciation for them, and we've become, you know, very, very dear friends since then. And I would love for you to be blessed by the Word of God that he's going to be sharing this coming Sunday. Hopefully you can join us at 10:30. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 18 today. We're going to begin reading in verse number 18. Again, we've been talking about dealing with sins amongst brothers, people inside the kingdom of God. I will tell you this, judgment begins in the house of God. God looks for his people to be a holy people. And so if you're in relationship with him, please understand he loves us so much that he does bring discipline into our life because he realizes that holiness is of benefit to us and sin has definite consequences and causes us heartache and ruin. So Matthew 18:18 says this. I'm going to read down to verse number 20. It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." So I just want to focus here just a moment on the real goal that we should have as believers. The goal is not heaven. The goal is Jesus, to be with him, to be like him. And too many times people are living their life as, "I just don't want to end up in hell." And really the goal should be, I want to be in love with Jesus, and I want to spend my life with him. And, you know, we see that same mindset a lot of times in relationships where people are looking to get out of a very difficult situation. And they say, "Well, if I just get into this, if I just get married, then I won't have all of the temptations." That's a myth, by the way. That getting married does not do away with the temptation. You've got to be walking in covenant with Jesus, and you've got to be walking in covenant with one another. And that needs to be real heartfelt covenant, not just lip service covenant. And so when Jesus says here in verse number 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them," what a glorious thing. What a wonderful promise. I went to a Pastor's Promise Keepers event back in 1996. And it was Valentine's Day weekend, I remember, because one of the first things that they did when we got there was, "Guys, we realized we scheduled this very poorly. We're here trying to create healthy and holy homes, and we have taken you away from a date that is more than likely very important to your wife. We've got a card here. We're going to pay the postage. Would you just fill this card out, write whatever you want to your wife, and we'll make sure that it gets in the mail today." But while I was there, there was a pastor, and he said, here's my take on this. He said, "It is so difficult to get two or three people to agree on anything." He said, if you can do that," he said, "I want to come and see it for myself." We are so self-centered in our modern society, and that selfishness, self-centeredness, does not stay outside of the four walls of the church. So there are a lot of people, they make decisions on where they're going to go to church. "Well, I'm going to go to this church because their building looks like this. I'm going to go to the church here because of this particular thing that they've got going on. And I'm going to go to this over here because, hey, I've got a better chance of finding a spouse there. I'm going to go to this church over here because there's more business opportunities if I go there." And really, my wife and I, we've never operated like that. We've always approached where we worshiped, say, "God, where would you have us to be? Where do you want to strategically put us so that we can please you and make a difference in people's lives?" The consumer mindset is not a healthy mindset when it comes to believers. We're not so much into the consumption aspect as much as, "Hey, how can I bring glory to God in this situation?" So let me read a few verses here for you. Down to verse number 20. And let me read it to you in the Amplified. It says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, shall have already be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, shall have already been loosed in heaven. That I'm gonna stop right there. That elaboration really helped me. There is a lot of teaching that says what is being described here is the type of authority that rabbis had in Judaism. And the thing is that the traditions of men are not supposed to be given more weight than what the commands of God have. And so what Jesus is telling them, and he says it this way, assuredly I say to you, or verily I say to you, or I'm telling you the truth, he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And when we look at that in a typical translation, we think that whatever we are going to restrict here, heaven's going to say, okay, I'm going to restrict it in heaven as well. Now, there is an extent where that is true, but we've got to first get it in the proper alignment where we say we are going to not grant freedom in our life here on earth to things that God is not letting loose in the heavenlies. And what God is operating by in the heavenlies, we want that to be operating here on the earth. So Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the heartbeat. And so we need to make sure, and again, this has to do with compassion. We need to make sure that the Word of God is our standard. A lot of things are legal in America. There are a lot of things that are legal around the world, but they are not godly liberties according to the Word of God. A thing can be legal and be immoral at the same time. So, as believers, as a family of faith, our standard is not the legal code. Our standard is the Word of God. And so what we are looking for is to experience as much of heaven here on earth as we possibly can. And that is, that comes when we align with the principles of heaven. So, you have a neck. I know that sounds like a pretty basic premise. I remember hearing this statement at a revival back in the 1990s, and it said, you cannot help what crosses in front of your eyes, but God has given you a neck to make sure that you know that you can turn your head so that you don't have to continue to stare at it. I'm preaching a series of messages. I've got a couple of different series going on. One is Let's Get Moving, and one of those sermons is Let's Get Moving with Compassion. And the other one is traps that the enemy positions in our life to try and ensnare us, to destroy us, or at least restrict us. And one of those traps is our table. And so I can put it to you in a very basic sense, in that there are a lot of people who have problems in their life. I was one of them. And the health ramifications that I was beginning to see had to do with the, excuse me, the food that I was partaking of. And in discussions with my doctor, he ran off a list of all sorts of things. And I said, I don't have any of those things. And, you know, the things that you're describing, I don't eat much of. And then with some modifications to where I started just not eating some carbs that were hidden carbs in my life, I didn't really think that there was much there. You know, what they were, you know, was a flour tortilla. It just didn't seem to be that big of a deal. But evidently I was consuming a lot of tortillas through the week. And that was more than what my body could handle. So my table had become a snare for me. So there may be, and it's a huge problem in the church. America generally doesn't have a starvation problem, limited, you know, parts of society have food problems, food supply problems. It's not very much here in America. And you can see that, with some of the health consequences that we're dealing with. So we could solve some of our own problems by asking God to be the Lord over our table, not just to bless the food and take away the calories. Anyway, that's a personal story. Church fellowship dinners are a huge thing, and I appreciate them. We like that. I mean, it's like a family reunion for us. So we love fellowship dinners, but you know, you also have to show self-control and restraint there. But a table also has a different element, and that is, what is it that you are setting down to feast on? So you may be feasting on things with your eyes that you shouldn't be feasting on. You may be listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to. And what we don't realize is that those things can ensnare us and they can trap us. There's a lot of different traps. And so if you'd like to hear more about it, come to Merit Assembly of God. And we're going to be going through those series, because I believe that God wants his people set free. So we've got to learn to restrict things in our life that heaven does not want operating in our life. Bind the things that are displeasing to God. Do not let them run freely in your home and in your life. I had a situation when we were in Texas, and a cold snap came through, and all of a sudden a bunch of field mice decided that they were looking for a warmer climate, and they came into our house. And didn't realize how bad the problem was until all of a sudden one night I got up and came face to face with one of those little critters. And then the battle royale was taking place. And I found out that there was a lot more running loose in the house than the one that I had seen. And you know what my goal became? My goal became none of them in my house. Not just one or two. I wanted them all gone. And more importantly than that, my wife wanted them all gone. And our home became a much quieter place, a much healthier place because of that. So, verse number 19. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So there is a biblical command for unity in the body of Christ, agreement. It says here, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. So this, there is a unity aspect, and the enemy, his attack on unity is strife and discord. He thrives with strife and discord. God wants peace and harmony. He wants us singing the same song, if you will. He wants us to have the same objective. Now, many people define unity this way. Unity is you doing exactly what I want. That's their definition of unity. If you're not going to do exactly what I want, then we're going to have a problem. You've got to not only do what I want, you've got to do it the way that I want, when I want, as often as I want. And so it becomes a very me-centered thing. That's not biblical unity. Biblical unity is not doing what I want. It's not doing what you want. It is both of us coming together in agreement with God's word and saying, that's what God's looking for. We're both going to align up with the word of God, and we're not going to have our prayers hindered by strife, not going to have our homes attacked because we're mistreating the spouse at home. We're not going to have that. That causes your prayers to be hindered. It doesn't cause them to be turbocharged. And so when we ask, we need to ask with the right motives. We need to ask for the right things, and we need to ask in agreement with one another. So our church is about a mile and a half away from Merritt Island High School, I would say. Maybe not quite a mile and a half, but it's pretty close. I can tell you that if a person is at the high school outside and they're playing a drum, I can't hear it. But I can also tell you that when they are practicing for marching band in the summer, and when they're playing the football games, I can hear what's going on because the instruments are in harmony. They're pursuing the same objective at the same time, and it becomes amplified. And what happens when the body of Christ does not operate from a silo mentality where I don't need you and I don't need you, I can do this all by myself, and instead they come together and say, we're going to come together and seek the face of God, seek the heart of God. We want God's will to be done. That's what we're praying for. It says here that when they are gathered as followers of Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to be there in the midst of them. Now, I want you to understand that that is more than just his presence there. Where Jesus shows up, he shows up as Lord. Where Jesus shows up, he shows up with the throne room of heaven. And everything bows its knee, and every tongue confesses the Lordship of Jesus Christ? What if instead of insisting on having it our own way, what if when we gathered together, we were saying, God, what is it you want to do here? And then when that answer comes, we say, yes, Lord, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, convenient or inconvenient, God, what is your will? We want to see you come. I believe the Bible makes it very clear that unity in the will of God, the plan of God, with the heart of God, is the key to an outpouring of life. The blessing of God, Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. In that place, I will command the blessing, even life forevermore. And so here's my mindset at Merit Assembly of God. My privilege as the pastor is not to get everything I want. That's not the goal. My privilege is to seek unity among the brethren, agreement between husbands and wives and families, and agreement at what God wants to do, where he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to everlasting life, where he wants to be manifest and draw people, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that results in people giving their heart to Jesus. So my goal is to say that is a non-negotiable at Merit Assembly of God. We must have godly unity. What song are we going to sing? It said this in the Amplified, that whatever believers on earth agree, that is of one mind in harmony about anything, that when we are singing the song that God wants and we're all doing our part to pray and see God's will done in Merritt Island and Central Brevard County as it is done in heaven, that when we are crying out for that, God says, I'm going to come and establish my throne room. I'm going to come and not only see this for myself, I'm going to come and set up my throne room in that place. Whether that's souls being saved, people being healed, people being set free, Jesus being glorified, that's what we are looking for. Hope you have a great day. Hopefully we'll see you tonight at church. If not, we'll see you here tomorrow on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.